Okay, morning everyone. Take it and read it. Take it and read it. Take it and read it. Okay, that's not my encouragement for you to pick up a Bible immediately and read it, although that wouldn't be a bad thing. No. These are the words of a young child that came to the ear of a man while he was sitting in despair in a garden in Milan. He was a very clever man, a very forceful personality, but he'd led a very lustful and licentious life until he settled in Milan and came under the influence of a man called Ambrose, the local bishop. He wanted to be devout, but he just found it difficult to give up that life. In fact, whenever God called to him, he prayed, "God, give me chastity. Give me self-control. But not yet." Then in that garden, when he was actually banging his head against a brick wall and tearing his hair, he heard those words from a soft, childlike voice. Take it and read it. Take it and read it. Take it and read it. And he did just that. And his eyes lit upon the verses from Romans chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. Anybody tell me what they are? Never mind. Look it up afterwards. Not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Through those two sentences, God spoke so powerfully into the condition of that man's heart that he immediately and finally repented of his sin. It was as though, he recalled later, my heart was filled with a light of confidence and all the shadows of my doubt were swept away. God spoke directly to his condition so powerfully that it changed his life. And as the man we know as Saint Augustine of Hippo, he unpacked the treasures of the Bible in such a way that he shaped Christian thought and Western civilization through the ages. So today is the second in our series of hearing God. And as you might have guessed, today is all about hearing God through the Bible. There's a year's worth of sermons on this. And I've got a few minutes. So this is going to be a very what, why, who, where, when and how express route through the subject. And I'm unashamedly going to use a lot of Pete Gregg's material from his book, How to Hear God. And, it's because I couldn't find anything better, to be honest. And why reinvent the wheel? I hope, though, that we'll see, as we go through this, that God does speak to each one of us individually through the Bible. Let's start with the question, what is the Bible? This precious collection of 66 books, written by at least 40 authors over the space of 1400 years, is how we know what we know is true. The Bible is the constant source of guidance, wisdom, and direction through all of life's twists and turns. It speaks intimately to each of our hearts. Now, worldwide, the Bible is indisputably the best-selling literary creation of all time. Every year, it sells or gives away more than 100 million copies. And technologically, things like the YouVersion app on your phone provide you with 2,062 versions of the Bible in 1,372 languages. It has never been easier to read the Bible. There's never been a time when the Bible was so accessible and yet so little read. Now, a study in America showed that 78% of Americans actually own a Bible, personally own a Bible, physical copy, and only 9% of them read it. I think the figures in the UK are probably about the same. The famous pollster George Gallup observed dryly, it's the best-selling, least-read book ever. So why is there such a gulf between what we say we believe about the Bible and what we actually do in practice? The Bible really is the most valuable thing this world affords, the very foundation of Western culture. It's the primary medium by which God speaks today. So why is it so increasingly disrespected in public by the very societies it's built and neglected in private, even by some Christians? I think there's one possible reason. In the global village that the world is today, we find ourselves confronted with completely different views of reality and truth at every turn, on television and radio, in our social media, from our politicians, even in our conversations with other people. It's so difficult for us now to know whose truth is the truth. Now, obviously, for a Christian, the Bible is ultimately how we know what we know and how we know what we know is true. Our system of knowledge is anchored in this record of God's revelation of what is true reality. Of course, the ideas of absolute truth and human ultimate authority are becoming obsolete in society. The Bible's no longer accredited unconditional respect as it once was, even within some wings of the church. So why use the Bible? Why hear God through the Bible? Well, when it comes to hearing God, the Bible is the very language of his heart. Whatever other way God speaks to us in any other context, whether it's the preacher, whether it's on radio or television, or wherever we hear God speaking to us through personal revelation or whatever, whatever God speaks to us, it will never override, undermine, or contradict what is already said through the scriptures. The Bible is the core, the basis, the truth. God speaks truth and wisdom to us through its words. Now, I recall two occasions when the Bible has especially spoken to me. 1968, I was about to leave behind my family, my friends, my future wife, Liz, and go and work in India. Liz's parents gave me a little copy of the New Testament, I think thinking that that would be about the heaviest thing I'd carry on the plane. And they put an inscription inside the front cover, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, I know you know what that says. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. That word of wisdom has stayed with me ever since. And I'm glad to say so has Liz, despite everything. Again, at the end of 1989, when I walked away from corporate life and exchanged the comfort of a monthly salary, paycheck, for the life of uncertainty running my own business, Liz gave me a Bible on my birthday. Now, it may seem that Liz and her and my in-laws only ever give me Bibles as presents. I do get the odd box of licorice, all sorts as well. In the front cover of that Bible, Liz wrote some verses, again from Proverbs chapter 16. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from God comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Now, in the world of business, where ethics and motives are very often questionable, I have tried to follow that commitment. And I can tell you that God has always proved faithful to me in that. In fact, the biggest contract I ever won happened after I refused to work with a fellow consultant because the ethics of what his organisation was trying to do were all wrong. And I thought I'd never hear anything from him or his organisation or anything to do with them ever again. And a few months later, because of what I'd done, I was recommended to a new client. And that was the start of a very profitable venture. Now, I'm not a believer in the health and wealth ministries, but I am a believer that God is no man's debtor, as my father-in-law always used to say. He never owes you anything. You owe it all to him, but he gives you everything. Right. Now I've lost myself. Am I on page 4? Probably, yeah. Okay. So much of the misunderstanding and therefore the disregard of the Bible comes about because people fail to fully understand the centrality of Jesus in the Bible. The Bible is all about Jesus. He is the centre point, the fulcrum about which the whole of the Bible revolves. What went before him in the Old Testament sets the context for his life, death and resurrection. And what follows in the New Testament sets him as the true context for our lives. I'll say it again. What went before him in the Old Testament sets the context for his life, death, and resurrection. And what comes after him in the New Testament sets the context for our lives today. Let's unpack that a bit more. Although God sent Jesus as a revolutionary start to a new world, with a new understanding of God's faithfulness and mercy and justice and love, Jesus never rejected the scriptures, those writings that mostly make up what we now call or the Old Testament. Rather, he took the scriptures and interpreted them in a radical way that was revolutionary to the religious authorities of the day. But for his followers and us today, in doing so, he actually reinforced the authority of the whole of the Bible. He did exactly that when he spoke to those two dispirited disciples on the road to Emmaus. When he did this exposition of the scriptures and showed them how the scriptures pointed to him and the inevitability of his coming to earth to live and die and rise again. And when he did that, it's no wonder that their hearts burned within them as the light shone into their hearts. And hopefully, as we read the Bible, it can do the same for us as well. I'm back on track. However, there's a complication. There is a complication because this set of 66 books, written by 40 different authors over the space of 1,400 years, has some difficulties. I mean, that's 1.5 millennia of various and changing culture and language being captured in a lot of different styles of writing. And then, further to complicate matters, through the course of history, it's all been translated into other modern languages, including English for us, by people who have tried their best to interpret those three languages in culture, context, and so on, as best they can. But we're fallible humans. And what that means is, it's not enough for us to just read the Bible. We have to study it. And studying means asking questions. It means looking deeper. It means praying into what we've read. Not just reading the words, but understanding what's behind them. Now, sorry about this, but Pete Gregg gives two words that we can use to make our understanding of the Bible a bit better. And the first of those is exegesis. Exegesis. What on earth does that mean? Okay. It's the process of explaining and applying scripture. It's unpacking the real meaning of a Bible passage and asking what the original author intended to say when he wrote it and what God was inspiring that author to say when he wrote it. Exegesis helps us to recognize that different parts of the Bible need to be understood in different ways according to the style of the writing. For example, if we look at the book Song of Songs, it is a collection of love poems celebrating the union of two people in a loving relationship. And it represents the loving relationship between God and us, God and his creation. But it's not an instruction manual on how to run a church. Paul does that very well in his letters later on. I mean, our Paul does it as well, but I'm talking about St. Paul. And Genesis sets out a profound teaching of the theology of our beliefs. But it's not a scientific textbook or a completely accurate historic record. And these are the sort of deep understandings that we need to get into if we really are to get the true message out of the Bible. And the second word, hermeneutics. Hermeneutics. The process of translating, or more specifically interpreting, meaning of what's been written. It's the lens through which we discover the truth of the message, and more importantly, what it means in our lives. So exegesis and hermeneutics help us to understand the Bible intellectually, in our heads. But that also helps us to be able to understand the Bible emotionally and spiritually in our hearts. We need both the intellectual knowledge and we need the emotional message that hits home. When Jesus came, he introduced a whole new system of hermeneutics. I'm sure he never used that word, but this is actually what he did. The approach to Scripture is all viewed through his life. So this Christological hermeneutic, as the scholars call it, that enables us to understand the Bible by looking through the Jesus lens. We read and understand the Old Testament in the light of Jesus in the New Testament. We then further in the New Testament read and understand the epistles in the light of Jesus' death, life, death and resurrection as written in the Gospels. So it's a progression. Old Testament proclaiming what's to come. Jesus comes. Jesus lives, dies and is resurrected. And in the writings towards the end of the Old Testament, we get the message for our lives today, based on the context of what's already been written. I got 5 minutes to put it into practice. Okay. So, as Christopher wanted before I came down, I'm chucking away the last page of notes. No, I'm not. No way. Let's look at the practicalities, what I've just talked about. You know, that was the theory. Now let's look at what we do in practice. This is the where, when and how bit. How to get the best out of the Bible and hear God properly through the Bible. Now, we all have our own preferred ways of getting and processing information. Now, there are people who are auditory processors. They like to hear things. And for those people, possibly an audible Bible through the app Audible. Or maybe in some of the other Bible apps you can actually play it and listen to it. So that's one thing you need to understand is what's your preferred way of processing information? Are you auditory, so it means more to you to listen? Are you a visual processor? You like to see images, pictures, in which case, you might want to make notes in the margin of your Bible. You might want to draw doodles to give you an image, a picture of the message that's being given. Are you an active processor where you need to do something and learn by doing? So you might have your system of questioning what you've read and make notes of the answers you come up with. You might want to keep a journal where you keep the notes of that. Whatever it is, there are ways that you can choose the best method of how you study in terms of what your learning process is. Whatever the preferred way is, you'll always find something that will help you do it. A study Bible, a Bible with commentaries or dictionaries can help you to read and get the expert's view on what's being said in the passage. Somebody else has done the exegesis and the hermeneutics for you. And that's no bad thing, because you shouldn't rely on your own wisdom in this. But there are people whose wisdom has given us a helping commentaries and so on. Now, I use the YouVersion Bible app on my phone and on my PC. It's got 73 English versions of the Bible. Which one to use? Ah, well, I don't know which one to use. I normally use the NIV because that's what we use in church. But I love to look at some of the other versions as well, because sometimes if it's written in a different style, the message really hits home. It can be so different. So the contemporary English version, the Message, the New Living Translation, the Passion Translation, they all give a different nuance to what's being said and can be really helpful. I also like to use the Bible Gateway app on my PC. That is such a tremendous resource. Now, I can't get it on my phone because I've got an Android phone. If you've got an iPhone, you can get it on your phone. You know, there had to be at least one thing that makes iPhone okay. There you go. So, if you own an expensive iPhone, yeah, okay, you can get Gateway. Now, the Gateway app gives you not just the versions of the Bible, but a whole heap of other resources, commentaries, dictionaries, you name it. And the one that I've come across actually quite recently is a thing called Scripture Engagement. Now, Scripture Engagement is, it's like a super duper version of the Lectio Divina. What's the Lectio Divina? Okay, well, I think that Astrid might tell you more about this in 2 weeks' time when she talks about hearing God through prayer. But very briefly, the Lectio Divina, it's a way of reading the Bible prayerfully, where you read a passage, you meditate on it, you pray about it, you read it again, you meditate it again, you pray, you discern what the message coming into you is, and then you just rest in God's presence. So it's a whole series of, if you like, actions to help you get the message and understand what God's saying to you. And Scripture Engagement in the Gateway app does exactly that. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So there you go. And then there's Lectio 365 days in the year, which is a phone app that you can get that actually does the Lectio Divina every day. And every day, that is a very important phrase. Survey of 40,000 people aged between the ages of 8 and 80 discovered that reading a Bible has a profound effect on their mental health and spiritual growth. Research that's been done says that that takes place if you read the Bible more than four times a week, or four times a week or more. Twice is not enough, three times, beginning, four times, it has a profound positive effect on mental and spiritual health. People who read the Bible more than four times a week, 30% less likely to feel lonely, 32% less prone to anger issues, 60% less likely to report feelings of spiritual stagnation, and 28% more likely to be active in sharing their faith. Facts from a study. Now, actually, in Pete Gregg's book, it says that 228 are more likely to be active in sharing their faith. I think that's a misprint. So I've said 28. But there you go. Reading the Bible is good for you. So take it and read it. I'm going to close with St. Paul's words in his second letter to Timothy, as it's translated in the Message, because it's a really nice way of saying it. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. So, take it and read it. Amen.